thank you all for coming. We've got a very nice treat today. Gauranga Prabhu is one of the most senior disciples of Srila Radhana Swami Maharaj, and he's been with the Chalpati Project since its inception. So after a couple of decades of seeing Chalpati grow from basically a non-temple to a flourishing center of Krishna consciousness with over 175 brahmacharis, 1,400 initiated brahmanas, etc. He's seen every aspect of its development. And so he's come here tonight to show a little bit about the different multifaceted aspects. We take this as, of course, inspiration of the power of purity and Krishna consciousness. But we can also take it as inspiration of just how our community here can also grow and expand unlimitedly by Krishna's grace. So without further ado, Gauranga Das Brahmachari Prabhu. Hari Bhava.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yasodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Paribrajakacharya Shtodaraksri Srimadis Divine Grace Srila Bhai Charanarvinda Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharajala Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Vibhuti Sansthapaka Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Paribrajakacharya Shtodaraksri Srimadis Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Nama Acharya Srila Hridayas Thakur Ki ಪ್ರೇಮ್ಸಿಕೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭುನಿತಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ್ ಶಿವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ್ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ್ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾ ಕುಂಡಿಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧನ್ ಕಿ ಬ್ರಜ ಭೂಮಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಬೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಪುರುಷೋತ್ತಮ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ನವದ್ವೀಪ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಗಂಗಾ ಮಾಯಿ ಜಮುನಾ ಮಾಯಿ ಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿ ತುಳಸಿ ಮಹಾರಾಣಿ ಕಿ ಕಲಿಯುಗ ಪಾವನ ಹರಿನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ್ ಕಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮಹಾಮಂತ್ರ ಕಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಟರ್ ಬುಕ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಿಬ್ಯೂಷನ್ ಕಿ ತಾಯಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದೇ ಆಲ್ ಗುರಿಸ್ ಟು ಸಂಬಲ್ ಡಿಬೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗುರಿಸ್ ಟು ಸಂಬಲ್ ಡಿಬೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗುರಿಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ ನಮ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪೃಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ್ ಶಿವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಫಾರ್ ವೆಲ್ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಮೀ ಹಿಯರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಮಿ ಅನ್ ಅಪರ್ಚುನಿಟಿ ಟು ಶೇರ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಸೊ ಶ್ಯಾಮ್ ಸುಂದರ್ ಪ್ರಭು ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ಮುಂಬೈ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಡ್ರೈವಿಂಗ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಕ್ರೌಡೆಡ್ ಏರಿಯಾ ಕ್ರೌಡೆಡ್ ಮಾರ್ಕೆಟ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸಡನ್ಲಿ ಹಿಸ್ ಕಾರ್ ಹಿಟ್ ಒನ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಹೂ ವಾಸ್ ಕ್ರಾಸಿಂಗ್ ದ ರೋಡ್ ಸೊ ಹಿ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ವೆರಿ ಫಿಯರ್ಫುಲ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಹರ್ಡ್ ಸ್ಟೋರೀಸ್ ಇನ್ ಇಂಡಿಯಾ ಯು ನೋ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ರೋಡ್ ಆಕ್ಸಿಡೆಂಟ್ ದೆನ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬರಿ ಯು ದೇರ್ ಸೊ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಟ್ರೆಂಬ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅ ಹೋಲ್ ಕ್ರೌಡ್ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ದೇರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇ ವೆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಲುಕಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದ ಕಾರ್ ಚೆಕ್ ಔಟ್ ಹೂಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸಡನ್ಲಿ ದ ಕ್ರೌಡ್ ಜಂಪ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಹೂ ವಾಸ್ ಹಿಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಸ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್ ದೇ ಪುಲ್ಡ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಅಪ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಬೀಟಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಸೊ ಹಿ ಗಾಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಮೋರ್ ಬೆವಿಲ್ಡೆಡ್ ವಾಟ್ಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಈ ಥಾಟ್ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಿ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಸ್ಟೆಪ್ ಒನ್ ಯು ನೋ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟರ್ ಆರ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಈಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಗೆಟ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಸೊ ಹಿ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಕುಡ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನಿಂಗ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಸಮ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಯು ನೋ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಬೀಟನ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಫೆಲೋ ದೇ ಮೂವ್ಡ್ ಅ ಸೈಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಟೋಲ್ಡ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಓಕೆ ಗೋ ಅಹೆಡ್ ಮೂವ್ ಆನ್ ಸೊ ಹಿ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಕುಡ್ ಕಂಟೈನ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಹಿ ರೋಲ್ ದ ವಿಂಡೋ ಡೌನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಸ್ಕ್ಡ್ I was the one who hit him. It was no fault of his. But you guys are beating him and you're telling me to move on. What's going on? They said, Baba, you are a sadhu. You are wearing Hare Krishna clothes. You are having tilak. You are Vaishnav. How dare he disturb you? That's why we are beating him up. So this is to give you an idea that Prabhupada said that India is like an elephant. You know, even if dead, there is a lot of value. That means there is a certain culture, certain background, a certain kind of history is there which makes Krishna conscious kind of natural for people there. So therefore, before beginning the presentation, I would like to impress upon all those who are present here that, you know, preaching and establishing projects of Krishna consciousness in India is totally different from trying to do something in the West, which is extremely difficult because there is no cultural reference to this activity. So basically, this is part of our South Mumbai. And the story goes that Srila Prabhupada was standing with Shyam Sundar Prabhu on the steps of Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. So there is an interesting connection that one of the first This is okay. This is fine. One of the first properties Prabhupada purchased in Jhansi belonged to the wife of Mr. K.M. Munshi. And Prabhupada had established the League of Devotees. So K.M. Munshi was also the founder of Bharati Vidya Bhavan. And Prabhupada was standing on the steps of Bharati Vidya Bhavan in Mumbai, and he was pointing to that lane, and he expressed to Shyam Sundar Prabhu that, you know, we have a temple in Juhu, we should also have a temple sometime here in this downtown, in this somewhere here. And when Shyam Sundar Prabhu visited Chowpat in 1996, he shared this story with us. And right on 7 K.M. Munshi Mark, that means on the K.M. Munshi Lane, that's where the temple is. And it is actually the property of a trust which was being run for more than 100 years. And in 1988, the DTs were installed. And His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and a whole team of devotees worked very hard to establish the project step by step. So at the very beginning, as I was describing yesterday, the whole foundation for this temple was on the principles of devotee care. And the sutra which Maharaj was using is, a happy devotee stays. When the devotee is happy in Krishna consciousness, all of his needs are taken care, then he will actually survive, stay and flourish in Krishna consciousness. So right from the very beginning, emphasis was given on taking care of the devotee's spiritual, physical, emotional and social needs. And all the remaining infrastructure and projects which came about is simply a result or product of nourishing this seed. So therefore, the principle behind all of this was how to keep the devotees happy, how to somehow care for the devotees in different ways. And many times, while interacting with Maharaj, we have had arguments with him because certain things would appear to be, from the economic point of view or from the logical point of view, it may not appear to be appropriate. But then he was fixed on the idea that this is the benchmark, this is the standard, that care for the devotees first. And then based on that, you set aside all the other priorities, and then Krishna automatically takes care of things. So as we say, books are the basis. So we have this bus party. We have a very interesting, interesting idea which we tried out, and it was very successful. So what we do is, like Krishna Chandra Prabhu, he's a big industrialist, so he writes a letter addressed to other industrialists that we have this very interesting books, Bhagavad Gita, and it is going to transform the lives of many of your employees. You know, their character will improve, their productivity will improve. Try it out. So our brahmachari team goes and meets, you know, the in charge of some other factory, gives them the letter, and they see Rishikesh Mafatlal, industrialist, his letter is there. They become impressed. They allow them to set up a stall in the factory. And then they don't even have to pay money. It's on credit. So at the end of the month, the money gets cut from the, you know, from their salary. And then we get a check at the temple. Like in one factory, we were trying to distribute and we were not getting the permission. And this man was a Bengali, and our in charge was trying to push him that, you know, you should give us permission. You are a Bengali, Mahaprabhu is also from Bengal. And he said, I don't care, I'm not going to give you any permission. So this devotee gave him the books, gave him Bhagavad Gita, gave him a lamination, gave him prasadam, and then he left. After 1 week, he got a call from the same in charge. He said, you wanted to set up stall in our, you know, factory for all the workers, please come. And this factory had more than 100,000 employees. So our devotees went, set up the stall, and they sold books worth 400,000, 500,000 rupees. because they would just keep Krishna book, Bhagavad Gita, science of self-realization, everything together in one, you know, plastic pouch together. And they would just come and take sets. So many books went, so this devotee was wondering, that this man initially denied, now he agreed. So he went to him and said, "Sir, initially you didn't agree for this, now you have suddenly agreed, what's the matter?" So he said, "You gave me that Bhagavad Gita, I took it home and gave it to my wife. She opened the book and she saw the pictures there, and for the first time in 2 years she smiled at me." And she told me, "You are wonderful." And I thought, if this can change her, and if this can help her, it should definitely help hundreds of other people. So I thought, let me share this. But believe it or not, through this factory distribution, we can actually reach out to hundreds and thousands of people, because during lunchtime, during breakfast time, when the shifts change, all these hundreds and thousands of workers, they just come out, see something happening, and when they see that one fellow is taking, they also want. Right? One time one worker was saying, "I have just eaten chicken and come, I cannot touch Bhagavad Gita." So our devotee put it in a pouch and said, "Don't touch it, take it in a pouch." So they just take stacks of book with them. So this has been like the basis of our entire preaching, distributing books in so many factories, and apart from the regular book distribution in the trains. We have the Marathi, Hindi and the English edition of Back to Godhead also being published from there. And a lot of wonderful sales happen. Like Sakshi Gopal Prabhu, was when he was part of the Padyatra, they would distribute a lot of those books. So we also have like a section called Tulsi Books, where we try to print books which are kind of secular in nature, because so many educated intellectuals in Mumbai, they may not directly connect with spiritual books, so kind of looks like self-help books, but then gradually connecting them to Krishna consciousness. So children value-based books, leadership books, code books, other things. Bhaktivedanta Hospital actually happened by default. It was not originally planned, but there were a group of doctors who were kind of serving in rural areas on their own initiative. So they decided to come together, that since we anyway have to work, so why don't we work together in a hospital setup? And then someone gave them the land, and interestingly the land was just opposite the Mira Road temple. So then they came together and they wanted to actually make a very small hospital, but then as the plan progressed and the construction happened, then one floor, another floor got added, and then ultimately it became a 5-story structure. So basically it offers holistic healthcare services, and the devotees come together to try to serve in every possible way, and they have, you know, medical camps at Barsana and in tribal villages, and free cataract surgery camps are also managed, serving the Brajavasis. Interesting thing about this hospital is there is a very strong spiritual care department. So in the spiritual care department, what happens is that every patient who comes, he is given, even like suppose he's a Muslim also, Muslim or Christian, so as per their choice, then priests are offered, like they will be allowed to read from their Quran or from whatever other literature they are comfortable with. There is a traveling cart of Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, which goes to every patient in the evening between 5 and 7. So Jagannath will come to your bed, right, like right in front of the room, and then they are given a flower and they can offer to Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. And then they are given little prasadam. So many people don't know who this is. They ask, "Hey, who has come to see me? Even my relatives are not coming to see me in the hospital." So therefore, lots of people have transformed. So on an average, more than 100 people are becoming devotees per month there through the process, and they have more than around 100 preaching programs happening, more than 100 preaching programs happening per month there. Through all this, His Holiness Japatak Maharaj, he was admitted there during his health crisis, and he was extremely impressed to see the personal care which the doctors were giving. And he would move around sometimes in the wards to meet people, and then he would be impressed to see that, you know, somebody got admitted, and then after some days he has now started chanting. There is a bead bag in the hand. First day the relative is sitting next to the bed crying, and in the seventh day he is having chanting bead in hand and smiling, you know, because of the association, because of the influence of the devotees. So also they have a monthly festival where all the patients who got admitted are called for a festival. They call it Premanjali. So every department, like orthopedic, will have their Premanjali, and all the patients admitted in the last 3 months will be called. And then they have like a preaching program for them. So more than a hospital, it acts as a place for, or an opportunity for, transforming people's heart. And if we have a few devoted doctors who want to actually run a polyclinic like this. So now the London School of Nursing is wanting the Bhaktivedanta Hospital to actually give them a blueprint for spiritual care. And they are trying to sign up a contract. So they are working on their SOPs so that they can actually execute this for thousands of nurses as part of their spiritual care department. So every day in the morning, Shikshashtakam prayers are sung. All the employees come together. Every shift change, when there is a new shift which comes together, Shikshashtakam prayers are sung. And very important aspect of the hospital which began initially at the hospital is end care, end of life care. Because most people in other hospitals don't know how to take care of dying people. So therefore, a group of devotees were trained in how to take care of people who are terminally ill. So as we know that death is inevitable, and Vrindavan Institute of Palliative Care is a hospice center, and His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj had initiated this concept, and then later Bhaktivedanta Hospital helped in the execution. So a person who's terminally ill experiences physical problems, psychological, social, and spiritual, because anyone nearing death, it is an extremely painful phenomenon. Many times a person goes into depression, or sometimes he goes into near-death restlessness. So it becomes extremely difficult to take care. So you need active total care, not only for the patient, but also for family members, because how to cope with this. So therefore, we need a holistic care. And this facility at Bhaktivedanta Hospice, this is at Vrindavan, it is spread over approximately an acre. There are free facilities for the Brajavasis, and food, pharmacy, mortuary, and physiotherapy. And also there are facilities for massage and patient and nursing and other support is there. Temple and prayer hall is there. This is the ward where the Brajavasis are kept. And the devotees who are running it took the training in San Diego. And the services offered is that even the devotees go to the homes. So one unit is there in Mumbai where you can call up the Bhaktivedanta Hospital and say that someone in our family is dying. And then they will send people to their homes to help them cope with this near-death situation. So home care, daycare, respite care, and inpatient care, and bereavement care, and counseling the family. I mean, in my own case, my father was in his last stages, and we had admitted him in one hospital in Mumbai, one of the best hospitals, Jaslok. And my sister and her husband both are into drug discovery firms. They are running a business on drug discovery. They are kind of doctors themselves. So we all tried our level best to save the situation. He had an issue with the liver. But then in the end, The doctors there said that, you know, we can't do anything about this. So then both my sister and her husband, very, very coming from a very scientific background, they said, our science ends here. You know, we can't do anything now. So you take over. And then we had a dialogue with the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Then in a very, very delicate situation, he was transferred there. And we just had like 24 hours to live. But then in the middle of the night, the director, Madhavanand Prabhu himself came, and although he was going into coma, he was woken up. And then he was, you know, there is a whole science of how they communicate that you're actually leaving your body. And they have something known as six loving exchanges. Like a dying person is very, very much in anxiety whether I have performed all my duties properly or not. So the first thing they say is, you have performed all your duties very well. We are very happy with you. So usually the wife has to tell the husband, if the husband is dying, I am very happy with you, we are all very happy with you. And secondly, you are also very happy with us. And then thirdly, we all love you very much, you also love us very much. And, you know, we give you the permission that you can now go to the spiritual world. So like that, they have this whole, you know, science behind this. And of course, very fortunately, I had tried to contact Radhanath Maharaj, and he just gave a call. And he gave a phone call, and I took the phone and kept it near my father's ears. And Maharaj chanted like one round of the Maha Mantra on the phone. And then as soon as he heard the mantra, he was very restless till then. His hands were moving up and down. When he heard the Maha Mantra, then he became quiet. And then within 10 minutes, he left his body. So that was the last thing, you know, he heard was Radhanath Maharaj chanting on the phone. And then continuously some devotees were also sitting and chanting and reading from the Gita. So all the facilities there are been properly incorporated, like giving Ganga Jal, Yamuna Jal, giving some dust of the holy dham. So the way they do it is something amazing. Because most of the family members are totally bewildered in that state. They don't know what to do. The emotions run high and you get overwhelmed. So therefore, a very, very important service to society, because only Vaishnavas understand how to treat death with dignity. Others just don't understand what's going on. So if you go to the lot of the Karmi hospitals and all, the way things happen is very, very impersonal. So, nursing care is given, home care is given. This is Dr. Avnish, who is at the Vrindavan Hospice. And this is Acharatna Prabhu, who is the Vice President of Kolkata Temple. His father, he had Alzheimer's, and he shifted in 2010, around September, October, and he left his body on the just last day of Kartik. So the whole family was there, so many devotees were there, and this is Vishwaroop Prabhu on the side. And there is one Muslim lady also who was a scrap dealer, and she had intestinal problem. This is Bhima Singh. And then you need to do counseling to the family members and some of the Prabhupada disciples who were helped. Nirguna Prabhu and Chaitanyananda Prabhu, Radhakund Prabhu, His Holiness Narmada Swami Maharaj, you know, and this is one of our brahmacharis from Chaupati initially, and then later he became a grihastha, Stoka Krishna Prabhu. And he was in the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, but he just felt that he must come to Chaupati Temple to leave the body, so he was brought in specially. And in one sense, he was, as a brahmachari, he was very spaced out. And I would always think that this guy can't organize himself. He's totally space case. That's what I was thinking. But what happened was, at the end, on the day he left his body, two Brajavasis came all the way from Vrindavan, carrying Mahagarlands and Mahaprasad from all the temples of Vrindavan and offered to him. It was the occasion of Advaita Acharya's, you know, Advaita Acharya's appearance day, or which comes in January. So Advaita Acharya's appearance day, Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangir Prabhu also just landed, just after that. And Radhanath Maharaj was personally there. So all the brahmacharis were surrounding him, chanting the holy names. And this happened right in the brahmacharya ashram at the temple. Although he became a grihastha, at the end, last 1 week, he came to the temple. And Maharaj told the wife and the other people, okay, now he needs to just focus on Krishna. And different brahmacharis were taking shifts, all through 24-hour shifts. And we were just trying to assist in the end care. And so when I saw that, you know, Krishna just orchestrated his disappearance on the most auspicious day, in the presence of Vaishnavas, in the presence of his own guru, in the presence of Brajavasis who brought all the Maha from Vrindavan, I realized that we can organize everything in life, but we can't organize our departure. That is only in Krishna's hands. So the whole paradigm of what is the meaning of being organized completely changed for me. So we may keep thinking and offending someone that, oh, he's spaced out, he's spontaneous, he's like this, he's like that. But Krishna can, you know, do anything at the last moment. So there is this lady, and 15 days before her death, they celebrated her birthday. This is in Vrindavan. And this is a final stage cancer patient. So this is about the hospice in Vrindavan. And also these hospice services are running in Mumbai for people to visit. So we also have youth services. So basically from 1996, we have been trying to spread this message in the schools and colleges. And this has been one of the most successful programs in the colleges. And Mumbai or Bombay is also pretty westernized. And so many youth are completely misdirected in their own personal lives. So it creates a lot of impact when devotees go and spread the message. So I was very impressed when I saw this, Krishna House here, which is trying to transform the lives of college students. So that's a very wonderful model here. So we are basically trying to share Krishna consciousness with the youth. We have university programs, and we have what is known as Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education. It is nothing but something like a Krishna house, like a house which is in a campus. So only thing is that we get some cooks and all cheaper in India, so we employ cooks like from Mayapur and other places. So we have like 15 bases like this in Mumbai where different programs are happening. And we have more than around 1,200 boys who are chanting 16 rounds on a regular basis. And we bring them all together once a month in what is known as a Prerna festival. So this monthly Prerna festival happens where, you know, there is a speech, there is a lecture, chanting, dancing, you know, through the medium of lectures, kirtan, prasadam. So one thing in India is you can directly preach Krishna consciousness. You don't have to go indirect. Can directly present Gita, Bhagavat, Mahabharata, Ramayana, and people are open to the idea like that. Like one, in one college, this medical college I was preaching to, this boy, he was so dedicated to spreading the Krishna consciousness, he hardly got time to study. He would just be busy getting people to the program. So now, after 2 days, his exam was there, he had not studied. So he came to the temple, folded his hands in front of Radha Gopinath and said, "My dear Lord, your preaching mission in the campus is in your hands. If I fail in my exam, your preaching in that college will stop." Because people will lose faith. Now you decide what you want to do. It was like a deal. And after making that prayer, he just went and whatever he could study in 1 or 2 days, little bit. And the Lord arranged that 60 to 70% of the questions came from that little portion which he studied. And he cleared. So I went to give a lecture in that college after that results came, and I found the hall is packed. Usually 10, 12 people would come. That day 35, 40 students had come. I said, what's going on? And that boy's name is Shankar Savant. So they said, Shankar Savant has passed. If he has passed, that means Krishna must be there. So we have developed faith in Krishna. Otherwise, this guy has not opened a book. How can he pass? It's not possible. So of course, he took that. I mean, the students, if some students are sitting here, don't take this as a good case study. And try it out. It may be risky. But this devotee became so serious after that, that he went on to do post-graduation. But in his post-graduation, he got university gold medal. And he's a very, very successful skin specialist in Mumbai. So many of these students, when they pass out, they also become part of the congregation. And as I was explaining, that part of devotee care is also social care. So we have a marriage board, which consists of a few couples who have databases of boys and girls, and they try to organize marriages, you know, for different people according to their particular preferences and things like that. And there are other students who may want to join the Brahmachari ashram. So this is Chetana for the girls. There is a separate program which happens also every month. And we have what is known as the Journey of Self-Discovery course, a 6-session course which happens every month. This is very successful in India for attracting new people. If you just say Bhagavad Gita, then many people want to know. So this is, we say that in 6 days, try to understand the whole Gita. Understand the entire Gita in 6 days, 6 sessions. So then a lot of people get connected. For children, we have a whole set of programs called Fun School. And various groups are there, and they are taught various aspects of Krishna consciousness, shloka recitation. There are, you know, children's programs, value education programs where these things are inculcated. And we have another kind of base, which is, you know, like we have all kinds of retreats and different bases in different parts of Mumbai, and also Bhakti Shastri classes where all different kinds of Prabhupada's books are taught systematically. And we have classrooms in the temple which is open for everyone. And you know, every year we have in September Bhakti Shastri. Now we have also started the Bhakti Vaibhav. Now, Vaishnava Training Academy, this is like a very interesting example, that now the boys who are staying in the bases in the college, okay, now this is more for someone who wants to choose an ashram. So many times a young boy wants to know whether he is suited for Brahmachari ashram or Grihastha ashram and confused. So we allow such people to stay in the temple for 1 year and pay rent to the temple. They attend morning program, we cook breakfast and give them a lunch pack to take to their job. They come back in the evening. In the evening there is a lecture for them, 3 to 4 days a week. And the lectures are all geared up towards trying to help them understand what different ashrams mean and, you know, what are the responsibilities in the different ashrams. And the advantage is they get to see closely temple life. They observe the brahmacharis. They check out the, you know, disciplined life. And they may have different ideas of what brahmachari life is and all, but there is no false expectations. So through this controlled recruitment, we have been able to we have managed to eliminate dropouts like anything. So hardly we find that 3 or 4 brahmacharis have left in the last 5 to 8 years, because there is controlled recruitment. First they come into the Vaishnava Training Academy, pay a rent to the temple. We give them prasad and spiritual knowledge. At the same time they see everything, and everything is clearly explained to them, you only join brahmachari if you want to do selfless service. You know, if you can't make it, it's a very tough ashram, very difficult to survive, very difficult to stay. If you can't make it, if you feel you can handle this kind of thing sustainably over many years, then only join. Otherwise, safer is you become grihastha. So with that kind of a pitch, nobody who joins thinks that, okay, this is an easy life and I can just hang out for some years. No. Everything is clearly explained at the beginning. So with this, now we have like around 20 brahmacharis joining every year for the last 4 or 5 years. But when they join, they are aware what is expected from them. Service without selfish considerations. So we get a kind of quality of people who are all on the same page. They all understand that why we are joining. There are no false expectations. Like that. When I was telling this story that one brahmachari joined and his father came and started fighting. That why is my son joining? He's so young. This is not his age to join. When he's my age, he should be joining. So we told him, okay, let your son go, you join. He said, I have to ask at home. So he went home and came next day and said, okay, let my son join. So, a lot of emphasis is given. So some prerequisites we have. You have to finish college. So we don't take anyone in VTA unless he has finished graduation. After finishing graduation, you have to work for a couple of years in the world outside. And then only after you do that, then we send them through a medical checkup. So they have to have a medical checkup at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And then all the medical reports are scanned and studied by our in-house brahmachari doctor. And then, because some people have some kind of illnesses which may manifest in certain ways in few years from now, and it may be difficult to take care of him in a brahmachari ashram. So we had people with hepatitis B, and we had people with some liver dysfunction, which could, you know, later be crippling, and he may need actual personal care. So to eliminate all that, we actually go through a proper medical test. We don't advertise these things too much, but I have seen that these are a few common sense things, but it helps save a lot of casualty in future. So few people, one guy was in Citibank, you know, he was in Citibank and he wanted to join the ashram. So his Citibank head in New York, he found out that this guy wants to just quit. So he thought that he wants to leave Citibank and go to HSBC or some other bank. So I was kind of asking him again and again, why you want to leave? Where do you want to go? How much hike you want? What's your deal? You know, what will prevent you from leaving? He said, no, boss, I don't want anything. I'm fine and fine. So that guy in his visit to India really grilled him. You tell me, what's your plan? So he said, you know, I'm wanting to become a monk. I want to join as a brahmachari. He said, what? Are you crazy? Which is that place which can make you leave Citibank and go? I want to go and see that. So he came to the temple. He was an American. He came for a tour of the temple. And then he saw all these facilities and, you know, we took him to the Govinda's restaurant and he had our pizza and he said, oh, this tastes like the pizza. This has the taste of the Brooklyn River. So he really loved the tour of our temple. And he was impressed that this guy wants to join after leaving a Citibank job. But unfortunately, we took his medical tests and he had a certain medical issue because of which he was not, you know, recommended to join. So he was totally devastated and he was totally heartbroken. He wanted to leave everything and come. But somehow, you know, we advised him that it would not be right in the long run. So now he's married. He's, of course, a professor somewhere else. He didn't take up a corporate job. But when I speak of devotee care, it means at all levels, that even if somebody is wanting to be a brahmachari, that better it is explained to him what this life means, and we take all the steps properly, much in advance. So then we have the counselor and mentor system, because families need other families' social support. So they come together on a regular basis, and the counselor kind of has a personal guidance to each one of them. And this is like the backbone of the entire Chaupati Yatra, that a devotee, to grow in his spiritual life, needs three levels of relationships. One is relationship with his seniors. Second is relationship with his peers. Third is relationship with those who are younger to him. So in the current system, devotees get initiated by the spiritual master, but they may not have the opportunity to interact with the spiritual master or someone senior. So for every 25 to 30 people, that means around 10 to 15 families, one counselor or mentor is allotted. That's like the ratio. One counselor or mentor handles around 10 to 15 families. So it's small. Twice a month they meet. Then all the families come together. So it takes care of their social needs. Their kids become friends with the other kids. So it's like socially also sustainable. And as part of that, everyone has need to travel. So social needs are taken care. So everyone has travel needs. That once a year, people want to go on a vacation somewhere. You know, you get only like 10, 15, 20 days leave every year, and you want to travel somewhere. So what better place to travel than to holy places? So then way back in 88, 89, we started organizing tours to holy places. It began with 20 people, 30 people, 40 people. It kept growing. So typically the pattern is 1 year Vrindavan, another year Mayapur, another year Vrindavan, another year Mayapur. Fifth year we go some other place, South India or Jaipur or something like that. So what happens is the full year the family is looking forward to the annual tour to the holy places. And this turns out to be cheaper, because it is organized on a mass scale, you know. So basically what someone would spend normally when he visits Vrindavan or Mayapur, you spend practically only 60% of that, because it is organized together. So the basic theme of this yatra is spend as much time hearing and chanting for 12 to 14 days. And devotees just love that. So now like we have more than, this year we are going to Mayapur, more than 5,000 devotees are coming for that trip. So we also have in the temple what is known as the Vrindavan forest, a small replica. So what you see on top is the temple hall, and we have paintings of Mahaprabhu on one side and paintings of Krishna on another side. And what you see on top are the windows on which you can sit and, you know, watch the proceedings in the temple from the top. So Vrindavan forest is like a small place where we have trees which have come from Vrindavan. We also organize some corporate workshops, and as usual, like weekly satsangs. This is an interesting concept, that for the elderly, there is a separate group. Anyone above 50 is given a special I-card. So that I-card is for the Varishta Vaishnav. Varishta Vaishnav means above 50. So for them, they don't have to stand in any queue. They can walk in anytime, anywhere inside the temple for any program, you know. And if the temple hall is crowded, and if you have a Varishta Vaishnav card, you will be allowed to enter inside, and people will make way for you so that you can sit. So therefore, these are for the senior Vaishnavs, and on a regular basis, programs are held for them to discuss topics which are of interest, like health and other things. So as usual, then we have a gift stall also, and a Govinda's restaurant. This is one of the most popular and revenue centers for the temple. And we have 25 types of pizzas. Overall, we have around 250 to 300 different dishes. But because it is India, we can employ the cooks and everything. So we have 50 to 60 employees And currently it is being managed by some of our devotees who are running many restaurants, so they are doing this as a service. So midday meal, this is a program of the government to distribute food to the different school children. So is of course in Bangalore ISKCON, Madhu Pandit Prabhu, he initiated this through his Akshay Patra. Taking that cue, ISKCON Food Relief Foundation is a trust which has various ISKCON leaders as their trustees, including Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Devaki Nandan Prabhu and all. And Radha Krishna Prabhu is coordinating the activities here in Maharashtra. And currently, all over India, more than 750,000 students are fed every day prasadam. And in Maharashtra, we have approximately 175,000 children getting this prasadam. As I was explaining yesterday, that the grihasthas get wonderful opportunity to come together to organize cultural events. So, although the drama festival is only for 2 days, but the preparations begin 4 months in advance. So, after job, they decide, okay, we will practice in this devotee's house. So, 15-20 families come there. They do their drama practice, there is prasadam, so there is socialization, there is socializing, prasadam, everything. So it creates a very festive mood, many months before the actual event. So if you actually look at the drama festival, you may think, oh, this is just a 2-day event. But more important than those 2 days of the drama festival is the many weeks where devotees are come together, sharing, their joy and their happiness, their Krishna conscious realizations with each other, and having the pleasure of doing something to please the Vaishnavas. So this is a very wonderful opportunity, like this community has so much of talent, so many wonderful kirtaniyas and people who are expert in so many things. So these kind of cultural events afford a lot of opportunity for bringing people together. And of course, our Sunday festival has been the most important event of the whole week for many, many years. We get more than 2,000 people every week. We have diorama exhibits and, some kind of expo. So then, the last project which I want to discuss about is that which came out as a result of a lot of pushing from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and that is the Govardhan Eco Village. And I heard that some devotees want to create some kind of a retreat center here. So actually Maharaj has been talking about this retreat center for many years, but we could never figure out what it is, because in India this concept is not very common. So Govardhan Eco Village has twofold purpose: to present a sustainable community model and to educate people in traditional sciences like yoga, spirituality, cow protection, Ayurveda. And following sixth purpose of ISKCON as given by Prabhupada, simple living and high thinking. And to live in harmony with nature, understanding how Bhumi Devi is an expansion of the Lord. So we have Goshala, rural education, organic farming, community, alternative energy, cottage industry, all these things. So we have a very, very well established agriculture there. We have 65 acres of land, and we have all these different kinds of fruits, banana, mango, chiku. I just went to a nursery in Gujarat and got 700 mango trees. And on 30th of May, we'll be planting 700 mango trees. And I was talking to this gentleman, he has received President of India Award for the best nursery twice. He's a Muslim. And he was telling me very interesting thing. He said, Mother Earth gives us everything. How many of you offer obeisances to Mother Earth, thanking her? So for the last 45 years, every day the first thing he does in the morning is offer obeisances to Mother Earth. He's a Muslim. And he said in 1970, he did another experiment. He had an intuition that there is a connection between the activities which happen on the land and the productivity. So he said he had 2 acres, he had one plot of 2 acres of sugarcane field. There were 2 brothers. So he told one brother that, okay, what he did was in the middle of the sugarcane field, he made 100 square feet area empty and planted sugarcane everywhere. So there was like a private quarters in the middle, 100 square feet. And the sugarcane grows big, you know. So it's like a room inside. So the other, you know, the other field also had like that 100 square feet in the middle. So he paid money to both the brothers. And he told one brother, you have in this, you know, empty 100 square feet area in the middle, intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, everything you do here. He paid him to do that. And the other brother, he gave money and told him, have bhajan every day. So this was part of his experiment. So when the sugarcane crop was ripe, so usually for a ton in India, for an acre in India, you get approximately like 60 tons of sugarcane. Now this person who was doing all kinds of illicit activities, he got return of only 8 tons. And the other one who was doing bhajan and kirtan, he got return of 110 tons. So he got realization, and after that, on his own land, he doesn't allow anyone to stay at night, apart from a few, you know, chowkidar. He himself also doesn't stay. And he was saying that Mother Earth doesn't like illicit activity. And I like all the spiritual people, because all of you are practicing, you know, restraint and everything. That's also my philosophy. And he has so far given out 50 million trees all over India in the last 40 years. You know, so you meet all kinds of interesting people. And we got 100 varieties of mango, 100 different varieties of mango from him. He's growing that. So just... And so many types of vegetables we grow there, you know, different times of the year. Lady's finger, pumpkin, broccoli, cauliflower, carrot, all organic. And it's very challenging to grow without insecticides because the pests keep attacking all the time. So there is a whole network of farmers who are experimenting with this. So we have a very good network now with people. You know, chilies, corn, dry chilies, mooli, navalkol. So all the research and training also happens of the agriculture department. We have a wonderful goshala. Now we have 65 cows and we are making a, you know, new goshala for more than 108 cows. So we have lots of cow products like distilled cow urine, hair tonic, balm, dhoop, cow dung cakes, eye drops, nasal drops, tooth powder, and we are trying to get it FDA approved so that we can put it in the pharmacy shops also. And for alternative energy, we have what is known as biogas, solar. ADPM is animal driven prime mover. That means the bull. Prabhupada said, try to demonstrate how the bulls are useful. So the bull moves and we generate water out of the water pumps. So we have Lady Northcote Hindu Orphanage, children staying there as part of the orphanage which has been running for last 100 years. And Prabhupada gave the formula of rural outreach. So we have one brahmachari, Rupa Raghunath Prabhu, who's there sitting and giving class. He's developed a congregation in all these villages around our property. You know, so recently he had gone to Mayapur with a yatra of more than 800 villagers from all these places. So therefore rural preaching is flourishing. And then after we had created all these facilities of authentic organic farming and sustainability and everything, then we decided that Maharaj said that if you have all the best of rural facilities, but people from the city are always fearful to come and stay in a village. So a city person wants to enjoy rural life, staying in city comfort. in the village. So therefore, retreat center concept was how to create city comfort in village. So that you sit in a city-like comfort room, comfortable room, look at the village outside. And appreciate and say, wow, simple living, wonderful. I mean, I was involved in the execution of the whole thing, so, you know, sometimes it just comes out. But we were like using every possible technology available to create this infrastructure. So, but by government standards, we are going to be rated eco-friendly because they have their like LEEDs rating. So the, like the LEEDs rating, we have what is known as green rating for integrated habitat assessment. It's called Griha. So you follow certain, because outside standards are so off that you just follow a certain minimum standard and you get this rating like that. So basically we have a nursery here. This is our 65 acres is like a horseshoe shape. So we have an Ayurvedic wellness center, Kerala Ayurveda, with Panchakarma and everything. We have cottages with 22 rooms. We have amenities center, conference room and auditorium and everything. Then we have some private villas, a swimming pool, and an adventure sports area. And we have a boating pond which has 10 million liters of water, 60 meter by 60 meter by 5 meter. And a yoga shala for doing yoga with cow dung flooring. We have a goshala coming up. That is the construction right now happening. And we have, in future, Vrindavan Forest and temple. These are two future developments. And of course, a lot of landscaping. So these are the cottages we made in the last 1 year. So December 2010, we began construction. We opened in December 2011. So these cottages are made out of mud blocks. Okay, so I'll be describing about that. So we have these rooms which are ready. So this is how the mud blocks were made. It is called compressed stabilized earth blocks. So if you go to Auroville, Auroville is a very famous community in India. It is in Pondicherry. It is run with a lot of French people, you know, taking the lead. So you mix soil, quarry dust, lime and 5 to 10% cement for stabilizing. And you press it in this particular machine with hand. So it's called a compressed stabilized earth block. So we have a lot of stone used in the foundation and we have some concrete blocks. Mainly we are using mud mortar. Quarry dust, lime and cement is in the walls. So at every level, at the foundation, plinth, lintel and the roof, we give an RCC band around. And there are arch panels in the roof with mud tiles and mud plaster everywhere. So if you see, lots of places we are using mud. Mud in the foundation. So usually they use stones and cement. But instead of cement, we are using mud mortar. Okay, so again in the walls, mud. Doors and in windows, we got wood from a house which was broken down in Chennai. So recycled wood. Teak wood usually costs 3,200 rupees per gun foot. But we got it at 1,800 rupees gun foot because it was like a, you know, recycled wood. Pointing is something which you do to finish the walls. So that's also with stabilized mud mortar like that. So this is, so you may wonder what's so great about a compressed stabilized earth block wall. And people say, what is ISKCON doing for environment? You guys keep talking about Gita Bhaga. Do something practical, man. Show something how you are doing something for the environment. So if you see the statistics, that any wall, regular wall, regular brick wall, and you compare it with compressed stabilized earth block, so we have just given a comparison. If you see this figure, the red block is the regular brick wall, and there is a layer of paint on top. So the megajoule per kg is the unit for an embodied energy. EE is embodied energy, energy which goes into creating a certain object. So if you see, a brick has embodied energy of 3, concrete block of 0.87, plaster has 1.8, and the paint, because it is a petroleum byproduct, has an embodied energy of 67.5. So you may just see a normal brick wall with paint, but it comes down to 73 megajoule per kg as embodied energy. So we don't realize how much of carbon footprint we are creating through this, just by having a regular paint wall. So most people don't know these figures. Whereas if you have a wall without the paint, without any of these concrete blocks, without the plaster, the embodied energy is 0.275. So it is 73 versus 0.275. So yes, ISKCON, we are also saving carbon credits. So we are also doing something for the environment, you know, like that. Although this CSCB wall also has 5 to 10% cement, there are also concrete bands at the, as I said, plinth, lintel, sill level, because it is, we are in zone 4, so we have to have some kind of protection, you know. So you have to put a concrete beam all around. This is a yoga shala. What you see on top is a sugarcane thatch. So it is in the, made in the form of a Shri Yantra, sit-out pavilion, high bamboo and straw dome, cow dung floor. And you see inside, Aindra Prabhu used to do these carvings with cow dung in his room. And there was one Brajavasi who used to assist him. And we invited him to come and do some cow dung carving. So there is cow dung, Brajraj, and some fevicol also. So they use that to put make the carvings. So he was not willing to come, but we said, you are in Vrindavan, our project is Govardhan. So you just have to travel from Vrindavan to Govardhan. So he got convinced and he came, he spent 1 month, he made those carvings on the top. So this is the yoga shala. So actually another interesting thing is, in the yoga shala, we made it for yoga. And we had another building which we had planned for making as the Prasadam Hall. But I said, wait a minute, let us see how many people actually use it to do yoga. Because I'm not convinced that, you know, in India there is so much a wave of yoga. So till then, we will use it as a Prasad Hall also. So we call it Bhogashala. And, you know, one yoga group had come from America, and we thought, okay, at last we have someone who is going to do yoga here. So they came, and at night we served them, you know, heavy dinner. Pasta and this and that and everything we had got cooked from Govinda. And next day morning we kind of woke them up, okay, it's time for yoga. They said, what time is breakfast? So I got convinced that as soon as you step on ISKCON land, you know, yoga bhrashto bhijayate. Bhakti yoga takes over. So we have 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch and dinner happening regularly. But I'm still to find someone who can do, you know, yoga. Of course, Radhanath Maharaj is very confident people are going to do in future. He's also telling me to get a yoga instructor full time. I said, let someone start doing something. But it looks like there is a lot of wave here in America for yoga and everything. So this is conference rooms, seminar halls, and we have Ayurvedic Wellness Center. So in Ayurveda, we have Panchakarma, personalized therapies, consultation room, steam and sauna room, massage room, medicine room. So all these kinds of therapies are there, Abhyangam, Marma therapy, and herbal soothes, Upahanam Ayurvedic body wrap, spine care. There is something called Shirodhara, tranquility. They also have a package which is called jet lag. You know, it's like if you have a jet lag, so they claim that in 1 hour they'll relieve you of that. So we got all these, you know, Ayurvedic beds made in Kerala, and this is a DT of Dhanvantri, which we got made from the south. And also other things like anti-dandruff therapy and Nasyam, so many things. So we have outsourced this to Kerala Ayurveda, and we have a tie-up of franchisee. So we have a boating pond and a low-chlorine swimming pool. And, you know, we have lots of guests who come here away from the city and they want to chill out. Organic store, we have rice and jaggery. Certain handicrafts we have of the local, it's known as, you know, the local Thane variety of handicrafts. It's called Warli paintings. This is nursery. We have all kinds of ornamental plants, you know, fruit-bearing plants, forest plants, medicinal plants. We have for something for children to play, all kinds of stuff. You know, nowadays adventure and other things are very common. This is a very interesting aspect of our project. It is soil biotechnology for waste processing. So we set up 2 kilometers of sewage lines, and what happens is the water goes through various levels of earth, stone, rocks, and then there are certain bioreactors which are put, which take away the smell, and certain plants which help transform the waste into treatable water. And it is actually, it is called fish fit water when it comes out. So therefore, whatever waste is generated, we process it and again use it for our agriculture. So 100% water which is coming out of the toilets and everything is getting processed, and it is the condition called fish fit water. It is being used again. So we are having for, as part of our landscaping plan, intensive landscaping in all the areas which are written as A, and plantation mango areas, cow fodder, roadside plantations, and bamboo we are having. So there is something, a very interesting concept called Nakshatravan. Nakshatravan means that this is called Nakshatravan. That means according to your you know, zodiac sign, there are, according to Ayurveda, according to your zodiac sign, certain plants are good for you. So you plant those trees around in a circular fashion, and then you sit under those trees for some amount of time and your health improves. So that is known as zodiac related garden or Nakshatravan. So that also we are trying to develop as part of the landscaping, Vrindavan forest. And this is the new Goshala, where we have cow sheds for 7 categories of cows. For pregnant cows separate, milking cows separate, calves separate, healthy cows separate, sick cows separate. We are making a hospice for the cows, where cows who are about to leave their body, you know, they can peacefully leave their body in proper, with proper treatment. And breeding bulls separate, like that. So, you know, I remember recently, like, Maharaj had come there, and there were a lot of differences of opinion in how the cow should be taken care. And the devotees were having their arguments and everything. So then when Maharaj came, the brahmachari was in charge. He showed the construction area and said, we have left a lot of area for the cows to move around, because otherwise the cows attack each other with their horns. And Maharaj said, you know why the cows fight with each other? He said, no. Maharaj said, because the cowherd boys fight with each other. Because you keep fighting about this should be done, that should be done. So the cow is the most peaceful animal. But I have seen some of the biggest arguments around how to take care of cows. So therefore, this is like a cob guest house construction, a cob construction here with mud, which we are going to make. This is the foundation for that. And this is the upcoming temple in future. You know, we have appointed an architect who had worked for the Swaminarayan temple. So this is going to be a purely stone temple without a single piece of steel in the whole structure. So it will be, you know, stone coupled together, interlocking, and open from the sides, traditional looking temple according to the Vedic architecture. So we have lots of retreats happening. We just had a retreat with Niranjan Maharaj, you know, Japa retreat, Vaishnava relationship retreat, Ram Navami celebrations. And the last retreat we had was a devotee from here, Mahatma Prabhu. He came and did a retreat on, you know, relationships, forgiveness and kirtan and japa, like that. So in this way, these are some of the things which I wanted to share with you. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Yeah, it was good. It was good. So, anyone has any questions? Yeah. Yes.
Probably will not meet the test of history. Our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, he, 70 years of his sadhana, and they will not come to listen to him
in India.
And one person in Jhansi takes initiation. But he could not give up meat eating. And His Divine Grace arrives in 1965 in New York, and they listen. And not only that, the whole plan that His Divine Grace had was that everybody is listening to what America is doing or saying.
Correct.
When they will come talk about Indian Vedic philosophy.
Right.
Not only whole world will listen, but Indians will also listen.
Right.
So, Gaurang Prabhu, we are very proud of you. Extremely, you have 50, 60 more years to preach on behalf of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and Radhanath Maharaj. So, please, our best wishes are with you. Keep up the good work and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you very much for your blessings, Prabhu.
Just a small announcement. The dinner will be started in 5 minutes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Hare Krishna, Prabhu, for mentioning that about preaching, you know, in India and feeling like, oh, that's so accessible, like this is a culture that can spread, and there's like 1,200 students. And, and I guess it was a similar question when you're sharing all this, it's like, whoa, very bold, like there's so many projects. And I felt like, I mean, like personally when I've been to Chalkasi, it's just very amazing, it's almost overwhelming how powerful the preaching is and people, just the level of purity. And so I was wondering if maybe you could share your insight in traveling in the West and feeling like this kind of level can actually be accomplished in other places of the world besides India, because you're saying even in these colleges you can directly talk about Bhagavad Gita.
Right.
And so, like, I mean, going to college here, being a part of Krishna House and stuff, it's like, it's a lot slower, it's not as, like, vast. And so, like, what's been your experience in traveling in the West and what those differences are? And that it's that gap.
Actually, in the West, for the last 7 years, I'm traveling. But I have probably done only one or two programs where all Western students were there. And that was also one in Albany, they had organized one, and they called it the Mountain of Food Festival. And they didn't even put my name that as a speaker or anything. So whoever came was for the Mountain of Food. And then suddenly they saw the Mountain of Food is there, but someone is standing on the side with a mic. So they were not very amused with that. They thought this guy is coming between us and the mountain. So it was like a very short 10-15 minutes talk I gave on sanctified food and this and that. So I could see that it's extremely challenging to convey the message of Krishna consciousness. And as Prabhu very rightly mentioned, the way Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON in the West, it's mind-boggling. Even in modern times, most of the preachers can't even conceive how that happened. And so personally, most of my preaching is centered around doing programs which the local temples set up. And usually I find more Indians in the programs which are arranged for me, even like last so many years. I remember that when I went to Laguna Beach, and there was a program there, and I saw someone really dancing enthusiastically. He came up to me, embraced me, and said, "Do you recognize me?" And then I kind of tried to figure out, and then he was my classmate from IIT. And I was trying to preach to him when I was in college. And he told me that you used to come to my room, you gave me the Bhagavad Gita, and you used to give me prasadam every day. Evening you would come and give some prasad. And you would tell me that material world is a miserable place. So I thought, this guy doesn't know. He has not experienced the real pleasures. So he just came to the West. So he said, "I came to America and then I started doing my master's. So I kind of started experiencing the misery. And then I thought, let me do my PhD. Probably I'll overcome that." So the misery intensified. So he thought, okay, let me take up a job. I'll feel great. So then he started doing a job. So he kind of got more realizations that, there is some deep dissatisfaction, there is misery. Then he said, "I got married. My realization was complete. That I have my house, family, job, everything is there. Still, where is that joy?" So then he said, "I took out that Bhagavad Gita. I read through the Gita. And then I came to the temple. And now he's an initiated devotee." And he said that, "Probably, when you preached to me in IIT, I was not ready. But here in America, I got connected." So like that, I see that a lot of Indians, especially from the software boom, last so many years, they are very closely connected to so many temples. So there is a very, very powerful challenge in trying to attract the Western youth to Krishna consciousness. And there are isolated pockets of successful models. And I would say that your model here at Krishna House is one of the most successful models currently in America. There is one at New York in Bhakti Center. They are trying something with Gita Sutras. That's very successful. And few places like that are there. But probably we are just going through a cycle where Krishna is really testing us. And because of the combined efforts, it's amazing, because outside, if you go and see, the kirtan scene is booming. The yoga scene is booming. That means people are just opening up to the Vedic culture like never before. People are paying up like $30, $50 to go and attend some kirtan program. So the kirtan scene is very big, very successful, very widespread. But somehow the Hare Krishna movement is not anywhere in the picture. So now with so many devotees like Gauravani Prabhu and all these, the Mayapuris are also very famous here, So gradually I think these devotees are going to make a lot of difference in the scene. Like recently they did, the Mayapuris did a program at Rutgers. I was just seeing the video. You know, those who organized were showing me the video. 700 students were there, all Americans. You know, so it's gradually coming through. So we cannot say that demand is not there. Somehow, ISKCON is not there in the market. That's how I can put it. Otherwise, demand is there. Like people are changing their name to accept Hindu names. So many yoga scene people, they are changing their names. There is a lot of interest about Ayurveda. There is interest on, you know, all these kinds of kirtans, mantras. So somehow, we have been left behind. And we have not placed ourselves strategically. And we have lost our relevance. When we are not seen as being relevant, then people don't take us seriously. So in fact, this is Ghanshyam Priya Prabhu, who has come from Bhaktivedanta Manor. You know, raise your hand. So in the manor now, they have around 30 brahmacharis. But they are also struggling to find out how to connect to the Western students. So he's come to get trained at New York with Rasnath Prabhu for a week. So it's just that, you know, recently we just created one resource directory, iskoninfo.net. I was discussing with Gopal Bhatta Prabhu and I was telling him that, you know, ISKCON has a lot of talent and a lot of projects are happening in different parts of the world, but nobody knows what's happening where. So we are all in different islands. So if we just put things together at a place called a resource directory, so then you decide to start something. So you have all the resources available at one portal. So that way you save time, energy, money, everything. Otherwise you keep reinventing the wheel. Like for example, drama. Every Gaur Purnima, every ISKCON temple want to do some drama on Jagai and Madhai. How many scripts must be available on Jagai and Madhai in whole of ISKCON? You know, in so many varieties. So let's put all of that together at one place, downloadable files or, you know, contact details of the person. So we have amazing amount of talent pool, but we have kind of not organized things properly. Swaminarayan sent their people to ISKCON temples in the 80s. They went to Vatsika Avenue, saw the temple at LA. They came to Mumbai, saw the Juhu temple, went to Manor, saw the London temple. They spent 3 to 4 years just traveling ISKCON temples. Because I'm in touch with Akshay Muni Swami. He's one of the persons who manages the entire construction sitting at one place in Ahmedabad. They have 4 or 5 people as part of design cell. And there is one Harvard architect, Ishwar Charan Swami. There is Akshay Muni Swami. There are 3-4 Swamis. Just 5 of them manage 300 to 400 temples construction worldwide from one place. So I was talking to them and they said, whatever we have learned is from ISKCON only. I said, really? They started their operation in the West in 1992. And in 92 they began, and now they have a big temple in Chicago, in Atlanta, in Houston, in LA. Now they are coming up with a massive project in New Jersey. Because I have appointed an architect from the Swaminarayan. Like he was working for the Swaminarayan. You know, Manoj Kumar Trivedi. Manoj Trivedi Sompura is the Swaminarayan architect who did many Swaminarayan temples. And if you go to Vrindavan on Chattikara Road, you will find on the left side Kripalu Maharaj's big temple, white marble temple. So that is done by this architect, stone temple. So he was telling me that all the stone usually in India comes from a place called Bansi Pahadpur. So Bansi Pahadpur is a mine where you get this pink stone. Practically the entire thing has been booked by them. And there is a place, there is a village in Rajasthan called Pinwada. That's one place where all the workers, they are working on these stone carvings. And they have just kind of blocked everyone. The whole village is just working for them. And they want to create this in 4 years. They'll carve everything there, ship it here, bring the workers, assemble things together, and boom. They have volunteers coming and helping them like anything. So if you actually do benchmarking of ISKCON vis-a-vis so many other spiritual organizations, we'll see we have like a lot to learn and a long way to go in many areas. You know, of course, they are only catering to one particular kind of community, but they are focused on building temples and they are managing to do it. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted the local people to take to the process. So here in America, you know, the Americans, they should accept Krishna consciousness. And how to do that is something which is being discussed by lots of leaders in America. And many have experienced so many years of preaching, so they are sharing their realizations with each other. So it's going to be an ongoing challenge. I don't have like a black and white answer, the sutra or the mantra. If I had, then, you know, so many people would have had. But it's not so easy. Because the philosophy is easier to click. But then the culture catches up. And it's kind of tough. You know, it's like the culture is the one which gets the people more. The philosophy is convincing. You immediately get the philosophy. But as far as the culture, because it is alien, it's different, so it's kind of difficult to sustain in the long run. And that's where the challenge is. Otherwise, the Prabhupada's books are so clear-cut, very inspiring. Someone can get convinced even within like the first two, you know, meetings. Like that. Yes, Prabhu.
I mean, I've been involved in Krishna consciousness since 1969.
Right, right.
And still my life is, other than the years I lived as a brahmachari and lived in a temple, my life outside of that as a grihastha is not very exemplary in so many ways. Where somebody's going to come from the outside, yeah, I want to join that. I want to be
Yeah. What's your name, Prabhu?
Jitari.
Huh?
Jitari.
Thank you, Prabhu. I think that first of all, we should understand that each project has a unique flavor And each yatra will have its own set of things to offer to the society. So as far as we are concerned there, the Govardhan Ashram developed over a period of many years, and we had somebody staying there full time who was very passionate about organic farming and things like that. So he's our one of the presidents, Sanat Kumar Prabhu. He is one of the great authorities on organic farming also. The second thing is that Maharaj said that if you just have a nice rural place where practically no cultured and well-established people want to visit, and if that place is not utilized for transforming hearts, so we are not into just agriculture. The main aspect of Prabhupada's mission is to create a blueprint for simple living and high thinking and a facility for transforming heart. So therefore, this project is a place for facilitating loving exchanges. Just like this temple. Prabhupada, if you see Nectar of Instruction purport, Prabhupada says, why ISKCON temples have been created? To facilitate the six loving exchanges. People come, there is Dadati, Pratigrihnati, Guhyamakhyati, Prichyati, Bhungte, Bhojayate. Right, so the six loving exchanges happen in a temple. But what happens in a temple, that many high-class people don't want to be seen in a temple. They feel that their other friends and other society members may find them cultish. So they don't want to stay too long in temple, even in India. So they may come, just stay 10 minutes, take darshan and go. So you can't even like develop a relationship. So when you have like 22 rooms, Ayurvedic spa and all this thing, people come and they just stay there 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. That means you get there 48 hours to cultivate, which you may not get ever in a city. Like somebody was telling me one example, my friend came to the eco village and he said, in a ISKCON temple, even when a Hindu comes, he has his hands like this, which also means, okay, don't touch me and don't penetrate me with your philosophy. I have my own gods and demigods, okay, thank you. But when he comes to the eco village and sees the swimming pool, he goes, wow! And he opens up, and then you can shoot directly. Because you are giving him what he's looking for. So I saw that within 1 month of opening, like the Director General of Police, Maharashtra State, he came. He came and stayed. He loved it so much, next week he brought his whole family. Nothing to do with ISKCON, nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. But they just loved staying in a rural setting. But as I said, creating urban comfort in a rural place. That's the whole idea. So then, one more gentleman came for one of our retreats. And he said, I have been coming to your temple for 6 years. But I never advertised myself. But then when I saw Santulan retreat, it means balance. That's what I wanted. So I registered. And he came in. And he is the president for HR for Reliance, working directly under Mukesh Ambani. Mukesh Ambani is one of the famous industrialists in India. The richest Indian, you can say. So he's president of HR. And he's the president of the HR Council of India for retail. He started Reliance Retail. And he came up, for the 3 days. And he said, I have seen in the temple, some CEOs of other companies are also standing in the prasadam line. And we look at each other and smile. But we don't declare each other's identity and neither we talk so much. We just attend and go. So we found that when you have a facility like this, and in America you can create exquisite facilities because you have better architects, better landscapists, weather is more conducive for all kinds of beautiful, landscaping and gardening. You can really have amazing. I'm just sitting there getting ideas on the internet from America. You know, so many. I didn't tell the landscapist, oh, let's have this. He said, this will never grow here, Baba, it's so hot. So practically speaking, you can have something beautiful. You know, and that's how when Prabhupada came, Prabhupada was staying in Mishra's studio. Dr. Mishra. Oh, what is that? Mishra. Yeah, Mishra, yoga studio. So that Mishra also had one retreat, Ananda Ashram. So this retreat center is actually a concept which was begun by many of these, you know, other organizations. So therefore, interestingly, in part of Prabhupada's seven purposes, and in the initial days, practically every city temple had a farm community connected. But if you just have cows and agriculture, a person from the city doesn't see its relevance. So when you create some little infrastructure or some basic facilities, even people from the city want to go there and get transformed. And they would just want a break in the weekend. So therefore, we were organizing retreats for Mahatma Prabhu from here. So I was just sharing with him that you have a lot of talent here. A lot of senior Prabhupada disciples and a lot of wonderful devotees all staying together in this community. That actually speaking, many wonderful programs can be arranged and, you know, inspiration can be derived. It's just a matter of time where, you know, Krishna will reveal what is the best way you can actually do things so that a lot of people get inspired locally. And the whole idea is when, as a community, we are happy, what is the best preaching? What is the meaning of preaching? A happy devotee. Because what the people are wanting, happiness. So if they see someone happy, that is the ultimate in preaching. Right? People are not concerned with what you speak, they are concerned with what you are. So if you are happy, then everyone wants to know what makes you happy. That's how so many people joined the ISKCON in the initial days, because they just came across a whole bunch of happy people. So therefore, the greatest formula for preaching is not either an eco-village or a temple or a big structure or this or that, but it is a community of happy devotees, and devotees can become happy with very simple things, which doesn't need any money at all. And that is loving reciprocation. Shobhute vishwabhavena swasukhenabhivandita jagama swalayam tata patim anuvrajjanandita. If you see Sudama pastime, Sudama actually came to Krishna to get some money. His wife, Krishna massaged his feet, washed his feet, fed him some prasad and packed him off next day. So while Sudama was returning back, he didn't really get what he came for. He didn't get money. But the verse says, Shobhute vishwabhavena, that Supreme Lord who could maintain the entire creation. He didn't give a single penny to Sudama. So he was not in anxiety thinking, I didn't get anything, oh, my visit to Dwarka was failure. Swasukhena abhivandita. He was in great bliss. He was in great joy. At that point, Sudama doesn't know that his house has transformed into a palace. He doesn't know that. But he was in great bliss. Why? Because Krishna reciprocated with him with loving respect. So if we offer these two things to each other, love and respect, we have the potential to actually please each other more than any amount of material remuneration or infrastructure. Because what the soul really gets touched by is reciprocation based on love and respect centered around Krishna. So, swasukhen abhivandita, because Krishna treated him so well, he was in ecstasy. Jagama swalayam tata, he was going towards his house. Pathim anuvrajya nandita, he was on the path. But nandita, he was in great bliss, overflowing with joy. So if you see the 10th canto, 4th part, Krishna is sitting at the feet of Sudama, washing his feet. You know, if you see the BBT picture, so that transformed Sudama completely. Why? Because Krishna treated him with so much love and so much respect. And, you know, this can be done by anyone, by any community, by any member. So therefore, what may catch people's attention is the buildings. But the buildings is only an insignificant byproduct of something more difficult. That is reciprocations based on love, respect, and setting aside, you know, one's own selfish ego and deciding to cooperate. So when that happens, and we attract an energy and power beyond comprehension, and then Krishna's energy just flows. That's why Krishna spent more time with the Pandavas than also with the Yadavas. Because in spite of the differences of opinion, the five Pandavas did the most difficult thing, stay together. So therefore, that is, you know, one of the very, very critical things which can help expand the preaching movement when we come together with the mood of loving reciprocation. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Shishirada. Jai Shri. Thai Gaur Premanandi. Vanchakalpataru Bhashchakripasandu Vajapatana Bhavati.